Tfilas Musaf. We begin by discussing where does Musaf come from. There's a Gemara in Source 1, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis, cites a debate between Rabbi Yossi Bar Avchanina, who says Tfilos Avos Tiknum, that the Avos compose the concept of prayer, that they instituted the Tfilos. Avram instituted Shacharis, the concept of praying in the morning. Yitzchak composed the concept of prayer, or institutionalized the concept of praying in the afternoon. And Yaakov Avinu instituted the concept of praying in the evening. According to Rabbi Ben Levi, Tfilos Keneged Timidim Tiknum. He says, no, the Tfilos correspond to the Korbanos. Now there's the morning, there's a Korban Tamin Shel Shachar, which you read about in Parshas Tetzaveh, which is the corresponds to Shacharis. The Korban Tamin Shel Ben Harbayim, that corresponds to what we call Mencha, that's in the afternoon. And when the limbs are burning all night, so that corresponds to Maariv. Now, Amar Lach, the Gemara continues, it's Amar Lach of Yossi Rav Chanina. Lulam Eim Alach Tfilos Avos Tiknum Vasmechina Rabbanon HaKarbonos. Yossi Bar Chanina says that the Avos instituted them. He said, still, the rabbis connected them to the Karbonos as well. The Ilo Teva Hachik, if you didn't say this, if you only say that Tfilos were composed by the Avos, and they have nothing to do with the Korbanos, Tfilas Musaf, the Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Man Tikna. According to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, who said that the prayers were composed by the Avos, so that's just Shacharis Minchan Maariv. What about Musaf? So, Ela, Tfilos Avos Tikna, Vas Mechina Rabbanan Korbanos. So even Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, who says that the Avos established, composed the Tfilos, that the rabbis still connected them to the sacrifices. And that has to do with like the times when we can recite Shacharis correspond to the times when the Korban Tamin Shel Shachar was brought, and the time when we can recite Minchas corresponds to the time when the Korban Tamin Shel Ben Harbayim was brought. And also again, the Musaf, the Avos, none of the Avos instituted Musaf, but that was connected to the Korban Musaf that was brought on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, and Chol HaMoed. Now, the if you look on the source 2, the Tor says the following. He says, "Ula Acha." This is Orachaim Simon Reish Peivav. Says, "Lacha Sheyachzu HaSefer." So after they return the Chazan, after they return the Sefer Torah to the Aaron, Yomar Shliach Tzibur Kaddish. As Shliach Tzibur says Kaddish, V'yispalu at Tzibur Tfilas Musaf. And then the Tzibur, the congregation, Davins Musaf. Sholosh Rishodosh, Vishalosh Achrodos, and Kedushas Yobabsa. The three brachos before, three introductory brachos, three brachos at the end, and the bracha of Kedushas Yom, the sanctity of the day in the middle. We have seven brachos of Musa. Vinoagim Isfara Lomar, Lemoshe Tzivisa. So there's some prayer that they say, it's called Lemoshe Tzivisa. And Ashkenaz, Nolim Lomar, we have an Arsidur of Tikanta Shabbos. You set us al alpha besa shel tashrak. Right, you know it's tikanta shabbos ratzisa korban oseha. So it starts, the first word starts with the letter taf, next word starts with the letter shin, next letter starts with the letter resh, and we have the alphabet in backwards. And he says al shem hagula. So it's based on the reference to the final redemption, dichsiv. It says in Parshas in Sefer Zechariah, eshrika lohem ve akabtzeim. I will whistle, that's Eshrika, so it's Shin Reish Kuf. I whistle to them and gather them. Now the Beis Yosef in Source 3 says, Amashkot Rabbeinu Hashem HaGula, Dixiv, Eshkolohem, Zeh Shibolei, Lashon Shibolei Leket. This is the language of the Shibolei Leket, who's a Rishon. Matsasi B'Shem Rashi, he said, I found in the name of Rashi, Lefecha Hu Miyusad Ba'alpha Beis Azu. This is why it's arranged in the structure of Aleph Beis, Lefi Shehi Nishmas Al Hagula, because it's all about the redemption. Vagula Asid Elios Bischus Shabbos, and the redemption will be based on keeping Shabbos. Shenemar La Sorisim She Yishmu Es Shabsosai, V'Nasati Lahem Beis Chomos Beisi Yad Vashem Kol Shaber Shabbos Mechalom Machzikim Bivrisi. In Sefer Yeshayahu, he talks about in the future we're going to have the final redemption if they keep my Shabbos. And also, there's a song made out of this in Yeshayahu, Vaviyosim al Harkachi. And it's also written out that afterwards I'm going to bring them to my mountain, to my holy mount. Again, if they keep my Shabbases, Uksi b'shuva v'nachas tifoshei, with tranquility and restfulness you'll be saved. What's the tranquility and restfulness? That's the tranquility and restfulness of Shabbos. So there's an idea of keeping Shabbos connected to the final redemption that we recite in Musaf. So the question is, when should we daven Musaf? So technically speaking, if you look in source 4, so the Mishnah says in Brachos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, V'shal Musafim, we're page 31, source 4, V'shal Musafim Kol Hayom, you could daven Musaf all day. Musaf, because why? Because you could theoretically bring the Korban Musaf all day, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, ad sheva shos. You can only daven Musaf until the seventh hour of the day, because you can only bring the Korban until the seventh hour of the day. Now, Mesechus Brachos, Tav Chachesa Medalaf, in source 5, says, B'shal Musafim Kol Yom, Rabbi Yochanan V'nikra Posheya. Rabbi Yochanan says that even though you can recite Musaf the whole day, if you daven Musaf very late, you're called negligent. Not a good thing. In other words, technically speaking, you have the whole day to say Musaf, but if you say it too late, presumably after the seventh hour, right, day begins at 6, ends at 6, that means you have until 1. So if you delay after that, then you're called someone who's negligent. The Rambam in Hilchos, in source 6, Hilchos Tefila, Perakim Alacha Ahe, says, Tefilas HaMusafim, Zemana Achar Tefilas HaShachad, Sheva Shos Beyom. The Musaf prayer is until 7 hours of the day. V'mispal osa achar sheva shaos, and someone who davens it after 7 hours. Avo bisha pasha, even though you are negligent, yatzide chavasa, you have fulfilled your obligation. Nations mana kol yom, because technically speaking, you can pray the whole day. Right now, so a couple points about Musaf. So we know that let's say you forget to daven Shachris, right? The whole morning you forget. What do you do? If you forget to daven Shachris in the morning, what do you do? What do? You forget to say Shachris. Maybe none of you.
Tashlumin.
But now you can make it up. You can make up in the afternoon, right? If you forget to say Mincha, you can make up in Marv, right? So what do you do if you forget to say Musaf? Does Musaf have Tashlumin? If you forget to say Musaf, does it have Tashlumin? So Tosin, source 7, says, Brachot of Chafov and Aleph, Ibai Lohu. They asked the following question, Tov lo yispalo tefilas mincha. So if someone made a mistake and did not daven mincha. So Tosin says, Lo boy, im tov lo yispalo tefilas musaf, that he didn't say, they didn't ask a question about, well, what happens if you didn't daven musaf? Why? Davade enem yispalo barbis, because you definitely, when you don't make it up at night, how can you read the Korbanos, the text of the Korbanos, when it's no longer the time to bring the Korbanos? In other words, when it comes to davening Shachris or Mincha, those are fundamentally prayers of like asking Hashem for mercy. But Musaf is about what? About reading text of Korbanos. You can't read the text of Korbanos at a time when you can't bring the Korban. And he says, V'gam lo tiknu shel brachos shel Musaf el mishum, Uneshama Parmis Vaseinu. The purpose of the seven brachos of Musaf was sort of, and let us render the bulls, the parim, the offering of our lips. In other words, we're davening instead of bringing the korban. I think it's similar to the first point he's making. Uvezev vade avar zmano batal korbano. Here, once the time is gone, once the time is over, it's no longer time to bring the korban Musaf, you no longer can recite it. There's nothing, you can't make it up, because it's tied to the timing of the Korbanos. Of al shar tefilos, but of the other tefilos, the rachmei ninhu, they're about invoking Hashem's mercy. Ulevadei shispala adam kol yom kulo. Theoretically, there's an opinion in Brachos that says, ideally you should daven all day, we can't do it in the end. But the point is that really, you know, you can always ask Hashem for mercies. Ve'ein kad over zmano b'tefila acheres. If you miss asking for mercy in the afternoon, you can make it up at night. Hashem lets you make it up at night. But the Musaf is only tied to the Korban, so that you can't make it up if you miss it. And the Shulchan Aruch and Sora Seid passes like this. He says, Zman tefilas Musaf mi'arachar tefilas ha-shachar. So Musaf, it's immediately after Shacharis. Ve'ein la'achra yoser miyad sov zayin shos. But you shouldn't delay it until after the seventh hour. And if you do, ve'im yispala osa achra sheva shos. And if you delay till after the seventh hour, then nikra poshe, you're called negligent. Valpishi alfa picha yoshe chova. Nevertheless, you've still fulfilled your obligation. Nations mana kol yom, because the time is the entire day. And if you forgot, you didn't daven until the whole time has passed. Ein la tashlumim, you can't make it up. Musaf includes birkas kohanim, the duchening. Now the Ramah has a line. V'im yispalel osa kodem tefilas shacharis yatsa. If you daven musaf before shacharis, technically speaking, it's okay. Now we're going to get back to that in a bit. Get back to that point in a bit. But I'll make another point, which is the following. On Yom Kippur, depending on the shul, you may not daven, you may not get to Musaf by the time it's the seventh hour. I think our shul would generally make it. I'm not sure exactly the timing. But what that means is, let's say you have a very long Shacharis, a very long Kriyas HaTorah, Rav Torah, and a long Yisker. So if you're in shul all day, and by the time you get to Musaf, it's after the seventh hour, are you called a poshea? Are you called negligent? So the Shevet HaLevi in Source 9, Chelak Tes Siman Samach Bey says, V'chanami b'didan d'nikra poshea. And here also, when we say that he's called a poshea, Eino Ritzoto Lomar, it doesn't mean to say poshea mazin. It's not like when you say that you're poshea, poshea means negligent, it doesn't mean you're doing it intentionally. Ela misatzel kirashi hanisko leil memzayim beis means that you're lazy, right? If you could daven, if you don't daven musaf by the seventh hour, you consider lazy. V'chemin dehu rak begedim misatzel, and since you only considered lazy, dehad dain kama shos lefanav, because you have many hours in front of you still, de'efshar odli spalat sof hayom, because you're saying, oh, I can daven to the end of the day, you're just called lazy. But he says, im kain, if so, b'yom kippurim de'ma'achrim. Lo machmas atzlus, ela machmas avodos hayom shel tzibur shachris. Right, that on Yom Kippur, if you're davening the whole day, you don't get to Musaf to after the seventh hour. It's not based on laziness. Or similar, he says, uchay gadna b'simchas Torah. Let's say in Simchas Torah also. Let's say you have a 4-hour hakafos, right? And you're just the whole day, you're davening, you're dancing, and you don't get to Musaf until after the seventh hour. Ein chshash mitar poshe misatzik. It's not a problem. Like all of a sudden it's after 1 p.m. and you haven't got to Musaf on Yom Kippur or Simchas Torah. You don't have to rush to get there, because that's not considered lazy if you spent from the beginning of the day all involved in davening to Hashem. So that's what he thinks. Kenir Lenin started to lamit zchus. I'm trying to defend this practice. Avavadai im ein siba shel mitzvah. But if there's no mitzvah reason, then it's also leaf shol isatza. Then you shouldn't be negligent and lazy. Now, can you daven Musaf before Shacharis? So now the Mishnah Berurah in Source 10 says the following. So really, ideally, you shouldn't have Musaf before Shacharis. Why? Because, again, the prayers correspond to the karbanos, the sacrifices. And what is the opening sacrifice in the morning? The Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. Now, there's the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar and the Korban Tamid Shel Beit Arbayim are like these bookends. The morning sacrifice and the afternoon sacrifice are the bookends, and all the sacrifices are brought in the middle. So you really shouldn't be davening Musaf before Shacharis, because the Korban of Musaf always comes after the Korban of the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. Now, the question is the following. Let's say, for example, you come to Shul, and you come to Shul at Musaf, right? You come to Shul, whatever it is, 10:15, and they start davening Musaf. Should you daven Musaf with them, or should you daven Shacharis? Now, you might say, oh, daven Shacharis first. But maybe you should daven Musaf. Why? What's the advantage of davening Musaf with at that time? What would be the advantage? What do you think the advantage would be of davening Musaf if you get to Shul even before Shacharis? Because maybe
Kedusha?
Kedusha, okay. But either way, what's the difference between Shacharis or Musaf? Maybe tefillah betzibur?
No, but if you get there at 10:15, and the question is, am I going to say musaf with the kehillah, or am I going to say shacharis myself? I will miss kedusha regardless because I've missed the kedusha of shacharis because it's 10:15, right. And if I'm saying shacharis, I'm going to miss the kedusha of musaf.
No, I'm saying maybe daven shacharis by yourself, shacharis while everyone else is daven musaf. And then when they get and then listen to their kedusha, maybe kedam musaf afterwards. But I'm saying a more fundamental question. Maybe you can daven. Is it better to daven musaf while everyone else is davening musaf? Is there some value to everyone davening with everyone else musaf, or is it better to say no, I can do shacharis before musaf? So there is a slight dispute on this. There are two opinions on this, as very often, but there is a dominant view. So the Minchas Yitzchak, he cites this Chuvas Marshag, and he says he wants to Sheherich Litch is the source 11 Litchos Davar Diri Chacham Echad Sheyadata Lomar. This Chacham wanted to say that Tfilas Musaf Betzibur Adif. So there was this rabbi, the Maharshag. So this Achron, the Maharshag, said that it's preferable if you get to shul at 10:15 and they start davening musaf, you should daven musaf with them, because davening musaf with the tzibur is better than davening shacharis before musaf. However, That is a minority view. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. Let me skip. I'm sorry. That's not the Marshag cited that there was another Chacham who said that you should daven Musaf first, but he says no. Sorry, I apologize. So the Marshag cited an opinion that said that you should daven Musaf first, but he rejects that, and the Minchas Yitzchak rejects that. And the truth is, most poskim reject that. The Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Pri Yitzchak, the Minchas Yitzchak, the Yan Yosef. I saw in the Piskei Tshuvos. So there is the Be'er Yitzchak, who I believe is a Yitzchak Chachad inspector, who says you should daven Musaf with the tzibur, then shacharis. But again, almost all the poskim disagree. So again, there are opinions of both sides, but the consensus of 90% of the poskim is if you come to shul and they're all daven Musaf, you could daven shacharis with them. And the Piskei Tshuva says the following. He says, source 12, Kriyas HaTorah. So he says that why do we have the Kriyas Torah between them, between shacharis and Musaf? If we'll Pimidra Shima Hashem Tzedek Zul Kriyas Shema, first of the Kriyas Shema, Hazina Tfilasi, then you have Tfila, Akshiva Rinasi, that's the Rina, he quotes a Pasuk, that's the Rina of Torah, Plosifse Mirma, without lips of deceit, that's Musaf. I think there are like mystical reasons for this, he says, that there are reasons to have this order, mystical reasons. So again, there's the Korban reasons that Korban Shach, Tarmin Shel Shach comes before Korban Tarmin Shel Musaf. Sorry, before the Korban Musaf. And there's also, I guess, these kind of mystical reasons also. So again, you have a minority view that says you could daven Musaf before Shacharis if you can get Tefillah B'Tzibur with Musaf. But that's a minority view, and we generally should not paskin that. What is a woman's obligation for Musaf? Is a woman obligated in the prayer of Musaf? So what would you say? I mean, women who come to shul are obviously having musaf, or women who walk into shul, to walk into the main sanctuary, they're all daven musaf. So is this an obligation or not? Why would you say yes or no? What are your thoughts about that?
We are obligated like once to pray, right? Like we are not obligated like men to do all day.
Right, so that's a dispute. Sorry, so that's a dispute whether you're obligated just with shacharit or shacharis and mincha. So Marv, I think women did not accept upon themselves. But let's see if it's based on rachamim, mercy. So women need mercy. If it's based on karbanos, so maybe not. Is it a mitzvah shizman grama? Right. So look at the tzlach, source 13. The tzlach, that's Rabbi Cheskel Landau. in the 18th century. He says, "Lachen ani omer shekevan shekivnu." It's interesting. They didn't really discuss this before. I guess women definitely were not, like, it's not really discussed that much. I don't know if women were davening or not davening, but it wasn't discussed in like early sources. It says, "Lachen ani omer shekivnu b'mesh ani mistapek im tefilas musaf in hagas benashim." I'm not sure. Are women obligated musaf? So number one, it's a mitzvah shezman grama. It's a positive time-bound commandment. Even though it's only a mitzvah mitzvah, the women are exempt also from mitzvahs drabanan that are time-bound. But when it comes to tefillah, the rabbis obligated the women in tefillah because they need mercy. That's with respect to the three tefillos of each day. Even though Shabbos is Yom Tov, that's just praise. Right, because you're not supposed to ask for mercy on Shabbos. But since during the week, their tefillos are rachmim, so they don't make a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So when it comes to the regular tefillos, the three daily prayers, so those are all rachmim, those are mercy. So maybe you say women should be obligated. About tefilas musaf, sheinenu rachamim. Tefilas musaf has nothing to do with rachamim. It's a mitzvah hasei derabanan shezran grama. It's a mitzvah hasei, rabbinic mitzvah hasei, that is a fixed time. So therefore, vade denashim paturos. So women should be exempt. You should not be obligated in the mitzvah of musaf. Rabbi Akiva Eger gives them another reason for them to be exempt from Musaf. In source 14, he says, in Chelak Al Siman Tes, Dilichor Nira Denashi Paturos Mitfilas Musaf. It seems that women are exempt from the prayer of Musaf. Kiman Denashi Lo Yu Shoklos, Elam Chelak Bekorbanot Sibur. It says that women did not bring the Machzis HaShekel. Okay? We have a custom now, we give the Machzis HaShekel gift for men, women, and children. But women did not give the half shekel. Only the men over 20 gave a half shekel. So the half shekel, the proceeds of the half shekel, went to the korbanos. So therefore, women have no connection to, no obligation when it comes to the korbanos. Again, the shachris and mincha are also correspond to korbanos. So women have no connection to that, but they have an obligation based on they need rachamim. So Rav Kivager says, Musaf, it's only based on korbanos. So women never give the half shekel for the korbanos. So therefore, women are exempt from Musaf. Two different reasons. Mitzvah shezman grama. Mitzvah draban shezman grama. And also, they have no connection with this korban because they don't give the half shekel. Now, the Be'er Yitzchak, Yitzchak inspector, disagrees in Source 15. In Or Chaim Simon Chaf, he says, Ve'ikar misha kasav agoda nal dinashi paturos mispal musaf lefi shelohayu shoklos. The reason that the Rav Kiva Eger gave that women are exempt from musaf because they didn't give the half shekel, lo nihirli, it doesn't make sense to me. The im kain tikshe lefi mai de isa b'menachos damar Rabbi Huda heid ben Buchri b'yavna kokoin sheshoken echote ki al pi din paturim heima mishkalim chmo kain leviim. Kamisha Kasava Shara Melech. Kohanim and Levim do not give half shekels. They also didn't contribute. Vechen Kitanim and the children did not give half shekels. So Atu Kohanim Levim Kitanim Pchusim Ben Chaf Yutum Musaf. So if you want to say that women don't have Musaf because they didn't give a half shekel, so does that mean Kohanim Levim Kitanim also don't have Musaf because they didn't give half shekel? He says Va'afte Neim the Kitanim Shani Da'asu Lichlal Chiyuvim. Maybe children, you say they have to daven musaf because soon they will give. But Kohanim Levim daven musaf even though they didn't give half shekel. So rather you must say what muchach they ain't tefillas musaf tali bishkam klal. So the tefillah musaf has no connection with the half shekel. V'nashim chayavos and women are obligated. Okay, so the Rabbi Yisrael Chanan inspector thinks that women are obligated. So how do we justify Rav Kiva Eger's argument? It seems that Rav Yisrael Chanan inspector knocked him out, right? He said, oh, women are exempt because they don't give a half shekel. What about Kohanim and Levim? So it says the stipler in Source 16, the Kilos Yaakov. Ulanias daiti, according to my opinion, akati efshel chag b'Kohanim and Levim nashim. We can distinguish between Kohanim and Levim and women. Even though all of them are exempt from shkolim, but it's different. The nearer the mitzvah akravas korbanos atzibor, umitzvah shkolim train yanim heim. The mitzvah of bringing the korban tzibor and the mitzvah of shkolim are two different concepts. The chiv akravas korbanos atzibor rami al kol tzibor. That the obligation to bring a korban tzibor falls upon the entire community. Uvichlalam gama konim valavim. Included them are the kohanim and levim. Vilu yitzuyar sheshkolim enam miaspik mekorban tzibor. Let's say, for example, the Jewish people collected a half shekel from everyone, and there wasn't enough to fund the korbanos, but they collected a half shekel from everyone once a year, and that would fund the public sacrifices. Let's say there was a shortage, there was a shortfall, they needed to raise more money. Efshar shebazeh hayu mechuyavim gam hakohanim halevim. Could be they'd obligate the korban levim. The al kol yisrael ram yachiva kakrovas korbanos alchova, because it's on all. It falls upon all the Jewish people bringing the korbanos. But then shkolim ma'ina acherhi. The concept of shkolim is another concept. Shafilu kishesh belishka mos harbe hamasi b'chol korbanos hashana. That even if there's enough funding in the temple treasury for the yearly korbanos. Nevertheless, there's obligation to every person to give a half shekel so that the korban tzibor will be from his money. And from this obligation, the kohanim and levim were exempted. That the korban tzibor don't have to be from their money. In other words, the half shekel requirement, so that kohanim and levim were exempt from. However, if after that there was a need for money for the korban tzibor, you could get the funds from the korban levim. Aval nashim shapi yesh lomar dechmot deptur mishkalim him nam deptur meikare mitzvah dakrovas tefinu musafim dehal korban tzibor shesman grama denoy biyom lo belayla. But it makes sense to say that let's say there was a shortfall, they wouldn't collect from women because women are fundamentally exempt from the korbanos. Because korbanos are what? The korbanos themselves are mitzvah seishes man grama. They're time bound. So women are exempt. So women are different than korban levim. So you can argue, says the Kilos Yaakov, that Rabbi Akiva Eiger maybe is right, that women are exempt from the korbanos because it's a mitzvah say. They're totally excluded from it. The korban levim are just excluded from the annual half shekel donation. But if there was a need for funding, even after that, they would have to pay. How do we paskin? Are women obligated in Musaf? Look at Source 17, Mishnah Berurah, Orchaim, Kuvav, Sivkatan, Dalit. Utfils Musafim, Tzlach, Kasav, the Pturos, Mugin, Giborim, Pasav, the Chayavos. There's no consensus if women are exempt or obligated in Musaf. Some poskim, look at what he writes in the note here. Some poskim of Shmuel Vazer, of Ben Sir Abashol, write that women have accepted upon themselves to recite Musaf. And others say women are not obligated, but there's no objection if they wish to do so. Yaakov Yosef says in Source 18, Nashim Peturos Mitfilas Musaf Mishal Shabbos Yom Tov Rosh Chodashim. Women are exempt. V'tov Sheishmos Tefil Mipi Shliach Tzibor. It's better that they listen to the Shemoneh Esrei from the Shliach Tzibor. U'mikom Kol Mispalos Musaf Ein Limchos Biyadam Sheish Lamo Misha Yismochu. If they want to daven Musaf, they can. Now again, this is only an issue for Sfardim. Why? Because for Ashkenazim, even if women are exempt, they can still recite brachos, right? Svardim, let's say for the mitzvah of lulav. So women who do lulav, if they're svardim, they don't recite the bracha on lulav, because how can they say Asher kiddushadim mitzvah mitzvah? God, you commanded me the mitzvah of lulav. Women are exempt to the mitzvah of lulav, so therefore, according to svardim, they don't recite that. Ashkenazim say no. When you say Asher kiddushadim mitzvah mitzvah, it's the broader Klal Yisrael. Hashem commanded the broader Klal Yisrael in lulav. So too, when it comes to Musaf, even if women are exempt, they can still take it upon themselves to say it with and say Hashem's name. So for Sfardim, it's a little more complicated. But the Yaakov Yosef, Yisrael Yosef, writes, son of Avad Yosef, thinks that there's what to rely on, even according to the Sfardi position. So women, either they're obligated Musaf or they've accepted upon themselves. There doesn't seem to be a consensus view about this. Now, what about final thing we're learning about tonight is, can you eat between Shacharis and Musaf? Now, it's not relevant most Shabbosos and Yom Tov, most Shabbosos, because we go right in from Shacharis to Musaf. It's relevant on Simchas Torah. It's also relevant in some shuls, not ours, but in some shuls and many yeshivos on Rosh Hashanah. Many of them have a kiddush before Musaf. So are you allowed to do that? In other words, are you allowed to eat before you finish Musaf? You're not supposed to have a whole meal, right? You're not supposed to eat before Davin Shacharis. Okay, maybe, again, women, maybe they say brachos, like tefillah for them, okay. But can you daven, can you eat before davening Musaf? So the Gemara in Source 19, in Maseches Brachos, Dav Chav Chesam Bey says, Amar Rav Huna, also lo adam she yitom klum, kolam she yispal tefillahs of Musafim. Rav Huna says, you're not allowed to taste anything before you daven Musaf. Amar Lei, Bar Lei, Lamar Lei, Tzlu Yit, Tzlu Sat, Musafim, Biyachid, Vlitom Bidi Ul Mesa. So he says, Bai said back to Rav Huna, so what you can do is, you could daven Musaf before the Tzibor. Like, he was hungry. So he said, okay, you don't have to wait for the Tzibor, just daven Musaf by yourself, and then eat, because he wanted to come to the lecture, he was hungry. So how come you didn't come to my lecture? Because I was hungry. And so he said, okay, you could have daven Musaf privately, but even before the Tzibor davens Musaf, and then eat and come to the lecture. Amar Lei says, wait a second. What I thought you can't daven privately before the tzibur. Amar le lavit mar lamar of Abba b'tzibur shanu. So he says back to him, was it not stated regarding this halacha that this was in a communal setting? Meaning what? That the only time that you shouldn't daven in private is if you're davening with a tzibur, right? Let's say you're davening in a minyan. You should not daven musaf before the minyan davens musaf. So bottom line is, though, he seems to say that you shouldn't eat anything. Rav Huna says you shouldn't eat anything before musaf. And the Gemara concludes, v'leis hilchasa lo k'Rav Huna. We don't hold like Rav Huna. Seems to be that you can taste before musaf. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in Source 20, Orachayim Reish Pei Vav Seif Gimel, Mutalitam Korom Tfilas HaMusaf, and you're allowed to taste before Musaf, Tainu Achilas Peiros, Afilu Pas Muat, Afilu Te'ima, Sheish Bok Dei Lisod Alev, Aval Suda Aser. You can have a little food, you can have some fruit, you can have a little bread, even to satiate you a little bit, to satiate your heart, but you can't have a full meal. You can't consume a difference between light tasting and consuming a full meal. Now, the problem is that there's halacha what? Ein kiddush ela b'makom suda. That what does that mean? When you recite kiddush, you have to have a meal with it. Now, again, it could be whatever we call a meal. So on the one hand, after Shacharis, you can make kiddush and eat, but you can't have a meal. And yet, in order to fulfill kiddush, you have to have a meal. So what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to eat? So the Magen Avraham, you understand the question. In other words, there's a concept of in kiddush makom suda. So whatever that suda that you're going to be eating when you have kiddush, whatever you hold that is, whether it's a lot of cookies, a lot of crackers, cake, whatever it is, does that violate the prohibition of having a suda? Which the Shulchan Aruch said you can't have a suda before Musaf, and if you don't have a suda, you only have fruit, so that's a problem also, right? Because then you haven't fulfilled kiddush makom suda, because you can't make kiddush unless you're gonna have a suda with it. So what do you do? So Magid Avram, Source 21, in Or Chaim Reish Pevav Sif Katan Aleph, on page 238. Ve'afakav Dalshel Lechel Kodem Kiddush Ve'ein Kiddush El Makom Suda. So he raises this problem. He says that you can eat before kiddush, and kiddush only works but makom seuda. Yesh lomar, you can say didai kishiyishta kos yain achrav. So what can you do? You can have. We are lenient under pressing circumstances that kiddush makom seuda. The seuda works having another cup of wine. Now that's somewhat filling, and that's good enough. So it means you can make kiddush and then have some wine also. Oshi itom peiro. Another option is, Oshiton peiros v'yispalbim komo v'yochal achar kachapas. So what do? You can make kiddush, eat fruit, daven musaf in the same place, and then when you finish musaf in the same place, have bread. So why? So what are you doing? You're having kiddush b'makom suda. Because, I mean, you're having kiddush, you eat the fruit, you daven the musaf, and then you're eating the bread. So the bread is connected to the kiddush, even though there's musaf in the middle. That's what he says. But the Mishnah, yeah. It's a funny, like, we don't, it's not, so what do we do in practice? So the Mishnah Brewer said
in source, the same room to do it, or like
yeah, you need the just, same room. So it's not a great solution under many circumstances. It has to be in the same room. So it's not a practical solution under most circumstances.
It's not whatever we do, right?
Right, it's not what we do. So the Mishnah Brewer in source 22 says, "Pas mudainu kebeitzah the chose who bichal chilas arayv." The kolshkin mocha mina targim and chemich min d'sharim. So he says, what you can do is, you can have some bread, or you can have some delicacies from the five grains. That's also okay. That's what people probably do. They have like cookies and cake, but you shouldn't have a full bread meal. And kedei lisod halev lahainu she'ochal peiros harbe. You have a lot of fruit. V'chilos peir lo mikor keva v'nir dim cholash libo yochal gam pas lechol ad shishashiv dato ashi yosek kebeitzah. So if you're starving, then you can definitely eat. But I think the first solution, I think, is what people generally do, where they're saying that. They're saying that you can have some delicacies from the five grains. I guess don't fill yourself up. Don't have a lot. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says in source 23, "V'shemati megonim Shlomo Zalman the nagla hakil b'minei targim alechol afili yosim kabeitzah." You can have some grains even more than a kabeitzah, a little more than 56 grams. We pradim zeberabim. If it's in public, the midkarei adadi k'mo b'simchas Torah. So what's he saying? He's saying the following. He's saying that what's the reason why we don't have a full meal before Musaf? Because we're afraid that you're not going to daven Musaf, you're going to forget. Like sometimes we don't allow you to eat meals, like fixed meals, because you'll be so into your meal, you can forget about your religious responsibilities. So if everyone is going, let's say, to a Simchas Torah Kiddush, and then that's part of the schedule, then you go to Musaf afterwards, so then the whole reason why a Sa'uda is forbidden may not apply. So that's probably why people are lenient, based on this position of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. The whole prohibition of having a Sa'uda is because you're going to forget the Daven Musaf. So therefore, if it's part of the schedule, then it's probably okay. Right. Although some say, okay, don't have more than a kebeitzah, you know. The Mishnah Brewer in source 24 says that, by the way, if you're weak, it says Kotzebeli Rabba, v'hu b'shari tshuva de'im cholash libo. If you're very weak, v'in lo yai no vayim lo shar davar l'kai shalav, you don't have anything to make kiddush on. Rash elecho peiros v'odin minei targima meheiminim kodem musaf apelo kiddush. If you're very weak and you can't daven musaf, so then you can have some food, you can have some fruit, some food, even some mezonos, even without kiddush. But that's only if you are. That's only if you are starving. Again, women have a lot more leniency, because you can argue that, you know, well, the truth is no. Once you die, well, it's complicated actually for women probably. Once you make, it's actually more complicated, because once you recite brachos, so that's when you can make kiddush and eat, right? Because that could be considered tefillah. But then you probably then maybe it's more questionable whether you can have a full seuda. But I guess the women are lenient in this regard to have a lot of food, I guess, if they're going to go, they have musaf afterwards. I get. Oh, you're probably relying on the fact also that maybe women may not be chayev in musaf, right? So there's probably more room to be lenient. There's an opinion that the Ravid holds that there's no prohibition to eat before davening. So there are more leniencies during the day as opposed to night. The Yakut Yosef in source 25 says, "V'lachein yesh lahatir lo litom kol tefilas musaf lo kiddush al yayim." You could be lenient to taste something before Musaf without Kiddush and wine. Oh, so there are two reasons to be lenient. One reason to be lenient is that maybe there's no obligation on Shabbos to you're only forbidden to eat without Kiddush when you're obligated in Kiddush. So it could be until you recite Musaf, you haven't finished davening, and therefore there's no obligation of Kiddush yet. That's one reason to be lenient. And also, Yesh Omrim, the Ravid, Shemutu Litum Korum Kiddush, Rabbah. And some say that the only prohibition to eat before Kiddush is only the Friday night Kiddush, but not the Shabbos morning Kiddush. So there are like two reasons to be lenient to eat without Kiddush if you're very hungry before Musaf. Number one is, maybe there's no obligation of Kiddush yet because you haven't done Musaf. And number two is, there might not be a prohibition to eat before Kiddush according to the Ravid. If you have a kesayis of bread, of cake, then you kash a yain, you should make kiddush and wine. Vishnu yimena rov revius, you should have just a rov revius, and then eat a kesayis of cake, and then you're good according to everyone. So you hear there's a nice chart here on page 241, where he says that we start off and we said, we hold you're allowed to taste before Musaf. And the Shulchan Aruch said, you can eat fruit or even a small amount of bread, but not a full-fledged meal. And then Margaret Avram said, but how can you have a small amount when it needs to be b'makom suda? So we had three different opinions. So we had the Margaret Avram says, maybe you can just have wine or fruit, daven, and then eat bread afterwards. But again, that's a difficult position because we generally wouldn't do that. The Mishnah Berurah says that you can have a kezias of bread or a lot of fruit, like up to kebetza bread, and not more, or a lot of fruit. And then the Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that you could have a lot more because when you're with a whole minion of people, then it's fine. And then the Mishnah Berurah says that if you're weak and you have nothing to drink, you don't have any kiddush, so then you can have fruit or some delicacies without reciting kiddush because you have two reasons to be lenient, either because maybe there's no prohibition to eat before kiddush on Shabbos morning, and number two is that maybe there's no chiv of kiddush yet before you daven musaf. Okay? So we are going to stop here.